What an incredible song with wonderful message of God's love and His walking with us in our path. It's a wonderful framework for what we're going to be looking at this morning as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you would turn there with me, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're continuing our relationship series, MySpace. Sandy and I also looking forward to being at the MySpace retreat this weekend, Friday and Saturday. And we are looking on Sunday mornings at the relationships, the people that are a part of our space in life relationally. Tonight, we are very honored to have Brother Bridges speaking. The Bridges have been a part of Central Assembly for many years, and Brother Bridges has been one of the executive leaders of our Fellowship of Churches nationally in the Assemblies of God as the general treasurer, and he has recently retired. And as many of you know, they will be moving to Texas. And I'm so looking forward to hearing Brother Bridges preach tonight. And then we're going to have a reception for the Bridges afterwards, give many of us an opportunity to say goodbye to them. I see them down here, and we honor and esteem you folks, and going to miss you terribly, but certainly looking forward to your ministry tonight. Will you stand this morning with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we are going to read two verses to get us going, verses 7 and 8. I'd like to speak today on God's perspective on singleness. Now, 1 Corinthians 7 is about more than just singleness, but on the other hand, there's not a chapter anywhere else in the Bible that is as specific about what it means to be single as opposed to married. And so we want to look at singleness, God's perspective on it. Verses 7 and 8, just to get us going. Paul writes, "I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am." So where do we go with that? We shall see. Lord, here we are, and we thank you. As we continue to look at what it means to walk with others and to bring into this space of our lives people who help us grow and people who we can serve and love. We pray you'll help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Ingrid Trowbridge once said, "There is only one thing harder than living alone, and that is living with another person." Everyone who's ever lived in the dorm says, amen. Everyone who's ever been married says, amen. In fact, that's what we talked about last week. We talked about marriage and what it means to have a spouse in your space. But what if there is no spouse in your space? By the way, the answer to the big question after service last Sunday morning, after 10:30 service, was yes, my wife was in the crowd. But she forgave me later. But today, I'd like to talk about not the spouse that may be in your space if you're married, but I'd like to talk about what Paul has to say about singleness. What if there is no spouse in your space? I believe singleness is something like the way I've heard greatness described. You've all heard the old adage, some people are born to greatness and others have greatness thrust upon them. You know, it's very similar to singleness. Paul will say that there are those, in fact, he just mentioned that there are those who have a certain gift, that it seems like they were born to singleness. My wife and I never got married till our early 30s. We had not been sexually active before that or married before that. Got married in our early 30s, and so through a lot of my 20s, I obviously enjoyed being single. And plus, I don't know that anyone wanted to marry me, but I also enjoyed being single. I choose to look at my 20s positively. And truly, I did wonder for a while if maybe I had been born to singleness, that it was that gift, that grace that Paul talks about that some people have. In fact, I was so into being single, honestly. I was so into being single. I thought, in my upper 20s, I decided I should write a book on singleness, seeing I might be single the rest of my life. You know, I could just name it something like Single and Satisfied. I think Pastor Kyle was going to write a similar book, except I had chapter titles picked out. Chapter 1. In the footsteps of Paul. Chapter 2, to be like Jesus. Chapter 3, born single. Think about that profound thought. All of us were born single. And then the follow-through chapter, how to be single without really trying. That's a whole chapter right there. And then the barn burner, the blockbuster to finish it off. Free to be bound or bound to be free. And believe me, in my 20s, I was more bound to be free than feeling free to be bound. In fact, I viewed marriage actually a little critically. I viewed marriage as a very confining institution. I viewed marriage as cramping my style in a significant way. It left me free to be me and to be what God asked me to be and all that good stuff. And so I loved it. In fact, my friends were so aware of that I was a little bit militantly single that when I turned 25, instead of throwing a 25th birthday party for me, they threw a silver anniversary for me, celebrating 25 years of being single. That was my 25th silver anniversary. I still remember it like it was yesterday. I did not get any birthday cards. I only got 25th silver anniversary cards, and they did not give me a birthday cake. They gave me something that looked like a wedding cake, an anniversary cake, and we celebrated my 25 years being single on my 25th birthday. I just love being single, and there are some, like greatness, you're born to singleness. I personally, very seriously, thought of living all my life single unto the Lord, and I love being single. However, singleness is much more complex than that, because just as some are born to greatness and others have greatness thrust upon them, some of us have singleness thrust upon us. We're single, and it's not what we choose. And it's not easy. Like another friend of mine, he turned 30, and on his 30th birthday, he said, I've been single for 30 years now. He was still single. He said, I've been single for 30 years now. The first 10 were the easiest. And I go, yeah, you know, it's... For many of us, that is true. It's not hard, not easy being single, but you find yourselves getting 28, 32, 35. And sometimes singleness is thrust upon us because we have just not met another person in which the interest in marriage is totally mutual or the compatibility is mutual. And so we just are single, and some of us, you know, it's sort of thrust upon us, not the way we'd want to be right now. And others of us are what we would call single again, where through those two dreaded double D's, divorce and death, we found ourselves attached but and married, but we now find ourselves single again. Breaks my heart as a pastor to watch some people experience a spouse make very bad decisions, walk out on them, and singleness is just literally thrust upon them when it's the last thing in the world they wanted to have happen. And others of you, you've lived with a spouse for 50, 60 years, and death has come, and you're widowed, and singleness. I can't imagine living closely, intimately with a person for 50, 60 years, and then suddenly being alone again. You're single again, and you're going, Pastor, don't remind me. But yes, you are. So singleness, like greatness, some are born to it, and others have it thrust upon them. But if you find yourself, for whatever reason today, without a spouse in your space, here's some of the counsel of God's word for you. First of all, remember as in never forget, remember that you are in good company if you're single. I want to say that as clearly as I can. If you are single, you are in good company. In fact, there it is again, verse 7, we read it a few minutes ago. Paul says, I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that. He says, some have the gift to be single. And he said, personally, I just wish you could all be like me. I'm single. I don't have a wife to worry about. I'm single. Now, this guy had a little bit of a bad attitude towards marriage, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is saying, you know what? If you're single, you're in my company. Get your head up. And of course, we could go a notch higher than that, quite a huge notch higher than that. Jesus Christ himself. Did he ever get married? No. He was single to the day he died at 33 years old. And his forerunner, John the Baptist, who announced his coming, he was single to the day he died. And a little after Jesus was born at the tail end of the Christmas story there in Luke 2, we find Anna. She was a single again person. Young woman, Anna was from the tribe in Israel that was noted for its beautiful woman, and she was married at a young age, probably in her mid-teens, and was only married for a few years. Her husband died, and she never remarried. She lives single unto the Lord for the rest of her life, and we don't meet her until she's in her 80s, and God gives her a supernatural ability to recognize the Messiah, the baby Jesus, among all the other babies there in the temple that day. She was a single again lady. I tell you, you are in incredible company. And then we go past the time of the New Testament into the early church leaders, people like Eusebius, Origen, Justin Martyr. They were all single men and wonderful, amazing people like Augustine, who himself struggled before coming to Christ immensely with lust and promiscuity. He ended up living his life single unto the Lord, Augustine, and Francis of Assisi, and Clare of Assisi, and Helen Roosevelt, and up into our time, and John Stott, that great English Bible teacher, and Ruth Siemens, people like Lillian Trasher, an Assemblies of God missionary who had opportunity to get married and broke it off and went to care for orphans in Egypt till the day she died, and Mother Teresa and Bill Gothard and many other significant people within our lifetime that have affected the Church of Jesus Christ. Listen, they are all single adults, and if you are a single adult, I want to say you are in great company. Now let me just preach to the married couples for a moment. Folks, these are wonderful people among us, the single adults. Unfortunately, there's a stigma attached to singleness in our culture. In fact, I had at least three single adults this week say, "Pastor, please, are you going to make us stand up like you made the married couple stand up last week?" And I should have just said, I should have cleared the air on that last week. I didn't. Who knows how many singles didn't show up this morning for fear that I was going to make them stand. See, there's a stigma. They go, "Please, Pastor, don't make me stand up." See, there's a stigma, unfortunately, associated with being single. You feel like, you know, you haven't quite arrived in life. You're half a person and all of these sorts of things. And if we understand Scripture and the Apostle Paul getting up and saying, "Marriage, huh? I'd rather you be single." You're in classy category if you're a single person. Unfortunately, in our culture and even in the church, it's not often that way. And I talked to so many singles that said, "You know, I had great friends, and then my friends started getting married. And I felt alone in a couple's world." And every time, I hear this all the time, as soon as my friends got married, it was like I never existed anymore. And then we come to a church, and sometimes, "Pastor, use too many of your illustrations are family and marriage oriented. And we feel lost in a couple's world at church too." But I want to tell you, couples, we ought not to be losing these wonderful friends. In fact, from the time we were married on, Sandy and I made it a point to have single adults in our friendship circle. We could name a good list of single adults that we consider friends right here in Central Assembly. And we didn't do it this past Thursday on Valentine's Day just because of extraordinary schedule demands this year for us. But often on Valentine's Day, rather than trying to take on the crowded restaurants, often on Valentine's Day, my wife and I would just invite our adult single friends over. And we would just honor them on a difficult day for them and have a great meal, a classy meal my wife will serve up. And we would just say, we love having single people in our lives. This isn't a couple's world and them to kind of tread water and try to find some kind of space in our space. We love to have incredible single people in our lives. We think we're in great company when we're with single people. And you know what? When we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, where all of the categories are broken down, all of the categories that we measure people by in the world become irrelevant. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're white or black or Hispanic, whether you are educated or uneducated, whether you are male or female, and whether you are married or unmarried, everyone of those classifications becomes irrelevant at the cross of Jesus Christ. So God forbid that we who live by the cross would continue to keep those categories up. And we look at a single person, well, they kind of missed out on life. Uh-uh. They're some of the greatest people among us. And we consider, Sandy and I just want to go on record today and say we consider it a great honor to have wonderful single adults in our lives. We love them and we honor them. Some are in their 80s, and some are in their 20s and 30s and 40s. But we love having single adults in our lives. We're in great company with them. Amen? Can I hear an amen from you couples? Amen, 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 amen. May we live that amen. Which brings me to the second point, and that is, you know, if you are single without a spouse in your space, You need to let wholeness in Christ redefine who you are. You need to let wholeness in Christ begin to redefine who you are. And we can do our part as couples, but there's a decision you've got to make about yourself as a single person. I can't make that decision for you. I'm going to try and encourage you to make the right decision today. But you must make a certain clear decision about your own identity if you're single. You've got to renounce the labels. You've got to not let them stick. And you've got to renounce the lie that I'm half a person if I'm single. And that my life's on hold until that great event of marriage happens in my life. And so look what Paul says there in verse 23. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Let's just stop there for a moment. What's he talking about? The price. When he ever says you're bought with a price, he's speaking of when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood. And by his blood, we are purchased. Now, that sounds like a little gruesome. But his bloodshed means that he laid down his life. He became the sacrifice to bear the guilt of all our wrong, all our sin, all our evil. He loved us, not by saying shape up, but he loved us by taking all of our unworthiness and guilt on himself. And he became the sacrifice to satisfy the justice of a holy God, so that when we come to Jesus, we can be forgiven. But something more happens and we're forgiven. Our identity changes. We were outside of Christ. Now we are in Christ. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ. That's why all the worldly labels shed. That's why all the false categories that we box people into are gone, whether they are race or gender or economics or education or state of life, married or single. It's all gone. You are bought with a price. This means you look at yourself in a very radically different way than you've ever looked at yourself. The problem is that many of us, rather than pursuing wholeness in Christ as single people, I was forced to do that, you know, in my 20s. And I want to tell you, you know, the temptation is to grab onto a person before I'm whole. And I'm not saying you're still single because you haven't reached wholeness. I want to tell you, a lot of people get married before working on wholeness in Christ. And what you do is you bring all your needs and you carry into marriage this myth that marriage will fix me, that marriage is really the central answer to all my problems. Somebody said, love may be blind, but boy, is marriage ever an eye-opener. That's more the reality. I found that marriage exaggerated my problems, didn't fix them. And you know, sometimes we think, you know, all I need is that other person in my life to make me happy. Listen, you're as happy as you decide. I know that's a little rough to take. But it's a kind of idolatry to say, I'm going to use another human being to make me happy. Yes, human, we need each other. There's a God-given need for each other. We ought to fulfill one another. But I want to tell you, it just confuses me. Some weeks, I'll talk to a single person, and they're just craving to get married. And then I'll talk to a married person, and they're just craving to be single again. And I go, how does this work? And I found you can be lonely as a single person, and you can be lonely as a married person. Except I think I'm coming to the conclusion that to be married and lonely is even worse than to be single and lonely. Because when you're married and lonely, you also have a lot of disillusionment and the feeling of being trapped thrown in. You see, we grab onto each other, and we think, I can't be happy and whole without another human being in my life. Try telling that to the Apostle Paul. He says, look, immaterial, you don't belong to you anymore. We are in a whole new situation. There is somebody that no person is ever meant, even if they're your spouse, they're not meant to take the place of. There's a loneliness that the deepest human friendship or even marriage will never take away. It's the God-given loneliness for Jesus and himself. We are his bride. And I believe even in a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus, I'm going to talk about loneliness next Sunday night at more length, even then, there's a loneliness that's not ultimately ever met in human beings until the day we're united with Christ as his bride for all eternity when he comes. And I want to tell you, it's a pipe dream to say, some person will solve all my emotional needs. Rather, start with Jesus. When I was single, you know, I had needs for intimacy. But you can experience intimacy in non-sexual but relational ways, both spiritually and humanly. And it was when I was single, in those 20s, I'd spend sometimes hours with the Lord, just loving him and letting, emotional and spiritual intimacy with Christ deep. And I don't know that I ever walked in such deep intimacy with Jesus as those years where I learned God just drew my spirit out. I knew there was not to be another person in my life in terms of marriage at that point. But he drew my spirit out into intimacy with him, to love him and to know him. I probably felt that deeper as a single person than at any other time in my life. And it can happen. And then God would bring other non-sexual friendships into my life, both men and women, where we could have emotional and friendship in intimacy. I'll talk about friendship next Sunday morning and all of these things. But I want to tell you, as a single person, you can work on wholeness right now. It doesn't take another human being for you to come to a place of fulfillment in life and wholeness and fulfillment. And so he said, that's why in the next verse he says, brothers, each man as responsible to God should remain in the situation God called him to. And he'll go ahead and just apply that in the next verses to being single. He said, are you married? Don't seek divorce. And are you single? He said, don't be all obsessive about getting married. That brings us to the next point, which is the follow through. You know, we should avoid ever making marriage an idol or a reward. An idol or a reward. You know, sometimes we think marriage, as single people, is a reward for good behavior. You know, I'd be married if I was good enough, if I was attractive enough, if I made all the right decisions. And we begin to live life in the rearview mirror with all kinds of what-if questions. What if I hadn't broken off that relationship? What if I'd done this? You know, God never wants us to live tormented by what-if questions. You know, the past is the past. You can't change it. But today, you know, you are who you are. And marriage is not some kind. I love marriage. You know, I had to make a point to tell my wife last night, now, honey, tomorrow I'm not going to be preaching on singleness with the passion I used to be able to preach on it with. I just had to reassure her. But I want to tell you, singleness can be pretty terrific. And you don't need to look at marriage is some kind of great reward or the panacea for your woes. One single lady really wrestling with her singleness and really kind of breaking through with some things spiritually, she's a single friend of mine years ago, she said, Jim, I finally dawned on me that yes, marriage is made for life, but life is not necessarily made for marriage. There is life outside of marriage. And neither do we want to idolize marriage. How do you idolize marriage? You idolize marriage when you put life on hold until the big event. Not only your identity level, which we've already talked about, I'm only half a person until I get married, you know. But I want to say this to you. Listen, you can live now. If you don't live now, full bore ahead, then, and if you're putting everything off till when I get married, then you're serving the idol of marriage. You're not serving the Lordship of Christ today. And I want to tell you, some of us we're living life temporarily, too temporarily. We're deferring too much until I get married. It's like former Education Secretary William Bennett talks about going to a wedding, and instead of the vows, you know, I'll be faithful to you till death do us part, they said, I'll be faithful to you as long as love shall last. Which is a fancy way of saying, as long as I feel like it, I'll be faithful to you. If I don't feel like it, forget you. So William Bennett said, I went home and for a wedding gift, I ordered them paper plates. And you know what? Some of us are living a paper plate existence. You know, we're living temporarily, putting life off till the big event happens. Well, what if it never happens? And what if it does happen, but the time you're wasting till then? I want to encourage you. If you're single, don't put off living. Don't put off living. I mean, buy yourself some china. Literally. Live with class. Oh, it's hard, Pastor. I just eat TV dinners because it's only me. You know? Well, listen. You know, so you're gonna pull out to china and eat a decent meal only when you get married. Oh. I know it's hard, but don't live this paper plate TV dinner life. You know, pull out the china someday and make a good meal for yourself and live singleness with class and dignity. I'm so glad Sandy did that. I didn't, but I'm so glad Sandy. I was just a poor campus pastor when I met Sandy. I've been a pastor 5 years when I met Sandy, and she was in her 30s and two, and she had lived single and kind of she had lots of unlike me. She had lots of marriage opportunities and never felt right about them. And then there seemed to be no marriage opportunities when she got in her 30s, and so she said, "I'm not going to put off living. I may never get married." So she bought herself dining room furniture. She bought herself living room furniture, still in our house to this day. And I remember the day we got married. I moved out of this place I was living. I could put all my possessions in my car, at least the possessions Sandy would let me keep. Now that's a story in itself. And I remember thinking, I'm glad somebody didn't put off living. Somebody decided to have class and have a dining room table and some decent furniture and live like life was worth living and not live the paper plate thing till somehow Mr. Magic showed up and swept her off her feet. Listen, don't put off living. Live it with class. And embrace every day. You see, if we're going to go the other way from making marriage an idol or some kind of reward for life, then we are going to live the paper plate existence And we're going to get kind of messed up about God's will in our lives. You know, rather than wrestling, is it God's will for me to get married or not? Here's my theory. If you woke up this morning single, the odds are you're still going to be single by the time you hit the sack tonight. I mean, possibly God can do anything, right? Possibly you could be married by the time the day is over. But I doubt it. And the Spirit of Jesus who said, just take a day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's saying, you know, just live it up today. Live with class and focus and address today's pain. Don't try to address today's pain and tomorrow's pain all at the same time. When I was single, I decided this. If I woke up every morning that I woke up and found myself still single, I decided it must be God's will for me, at least for that day. I don't know about tomorrow, but at least for today, I'm single. And so I'm going to brace today as God's call on my life to be single. Oh, but Pastor, you know, I might have made a bad decision. I maybe should have been married. Yeah, you know what? You know what? That's possibly true. But until all of that works out again in your life, embrace today for what it is. You're single. Decide to say, God's called me to be single probably till midnight tonight. And I'm going to embrace that, and I'm going to live it for what it is. And then here's the last point. Hallelujah, this is almost over. Transform your singleness into a lifestyle of availability. Transform your singleness into a lifestyle of availability. Oh, you know what? I skipped the verses on the previous point, didn't I? I preached the point and forgot to read the word. That's awful. Let's go back to verse 26 because it does say it all. Previous point, verse 26. Because of this present crisis, because of the stress of what it was to be a follower of Jesus in the world at that time and whatever else he was referring to. Because of this present crisis, I think it's good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Don't seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. Wow. But if you do marry, now you've not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she's not sinned. So I want to say, you know, if you do marry, I mean, it's not. You're not guilty before God. Wonderful. Be married, enjoy it. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. That's a little different than making marriage your idol or some great reward. So I don't read that verse to my wife very often, but Paul gets to say that. And he'll pick it up now. So this is the follow-through. Transform your singleness into a lifestyle of availability. Verse 32. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. I don't know those of you who have sons. I only have two daughters. I don't know what it's like, but all I can say is two daughters are very expensive. And I say you can always tell a dad of daughters. He's got in his wallet pictures where he used to have money. And it's just tough. I mean, Paul's absolutely right. He's saying marriage is a wonderful thing. And listen, biblically, You better be taking a whole part of your emotional and financial and time resources and trying to please your wife. That's what you're called to do biblically if you're married. But his point is this. Singles are like the green berets of the church. He says singles, now I'm not talking about single moms, because I tell you, single moms sometimes say, you know, I just feel guilty, I can't volunteer more in the church. I don't know how you do it, you single moms, single dads. And I tell you, that's your greatest assignment right there. And we as a church are called along to be side by side with you. Just moved my heart watching the guys, the mechanics, the guys out there fixing the cars of single moms a week ago yesterday. And the ladies inside just for an hour sitting down and just hearing the hearts of single moms. Possibly the only one they've had an intelligent conversation with all week. And we're called to come alongside. But I want to say, I'm not talking about parents here. You're just single. It says there is a way. That's why I use the term single unto the Lord. There is a way in which you are uniquely available. I know your life's stressful too, and you're busy as anybody. But the fact is you do not have that added component of trying to please a wife, please a husband, take care of a family. You have availability to God and to the people that you can serve that God wants you to touch. A lifestyle of availability is a lifestyle uniquely to God and to serving people without the added responsibility of a family. I want to tell you, we have singles in our church who give huge amounts of time and large amounts of money, and they pray a lot for who we are as a congregation. What would we do without the single adults who are like God's green berets, uniquely available to the purposes of God among us? That's why we honor you this morning. That's why Paul also goes on, and his interests are divided there in the middle of verse 33. And an unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of the world, how she can please her husband. And so where it's very easy for marriage to be selfish, it's easy for any of us to be selfish. But it is easy, if you're single, to also be selfish. And Paul is saying, you know what, you can shine. You can rise and shine. If you will defy singleness, and you will develop a missional life. A friend of mine, his wife, left the Lord and walked out on him and his kids. He ended up a single dad, 40 years old, a godly, I thought, family. She just went bonkers and left him. And he was single again and wrestling through this. One day he said to me, Pastor, he said, I've decided that although I'm single again and I don't have a marriage vow to keep, he said, I've decided that I'm going to make a recommitment to commitment. His own words were this, I've decided I'm going to master commitment in my life. Even though I'm now single and I don't have some of the commitments I once did. Because I don't want to live selfishly. I want to live the mission of the Lord in my life. And so, at the box at the very end of your notes, I'm saying this, Paul says, for your own good, not to restrict you. He's talking to single people here. But that you may live in a right way, in what? Undivided devotion to the Lord. I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I was about 28, 29 years old. I was really praying, and I'd really been trying to live out undivided devotion to the Lord, and God gave me this picture of walking through a forest, and it was me, and I could see me from the back, and I was walking away from myself and had one hand tied behind my back, and Lord said, up to now, marriage was the confining thing, but I'm preparing you for a new stage in life. And God was indeed preparing me for marriage. But the bottom line had to be, Lord, I don't get married until we can do more for you than by living single. And you know, that really is the bottom line of all of life. It's Lord, you're number one. And I want to ask while others are praying, you'll say, Pastor Jim, I haven't made the Lord number one in my life. And I need to be forgiven, and I need him to come into my life. And you just say, today, if he loves me, and he did everything needed to forgive my sin, I'm willing to have him come. and to begin to change my life. I'm willing to start a relationship with him. I'm talking to you if you're married, and I'm talking to you if you're single. It doesn't matter. Jesus wants to be number one. And until you make that decision in life, there'll be not a reference point for any of these other things we've talked about. But he wants to come. You've been purchased by his shed blood, but he's waiting for you to say yes to come on his side. And for him to step into your life, begin to change you from the inside out, have a personal relationship with you, you will learn spiritual intimacy. It may upset your life radically because it'll be his way and not your way. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like living in relationship with the God who created you. And that's where it all starts. That's why we don't look to marriage to do this. We don't look to singleness to do this. We can only look to Jesus to be our Savior. And you just wave your hand at me and say, Pastor Jim, I need Jesus in my life. And I want to start that relationship with him. Thank you, sir, in the back. I see it. Others of you, just wave your hand until I've caught your attention. You caught my attention. And say, I need to start that relationship with Jesus. You'll join others this morning that are making this commitment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just I wait, and God's Spirit's pulling at your heart. And your life's not right with God today, but you need to start this most important relationship, which is a reference point for all of life. He's here to say, I love you, and I want to reach into your life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'd like you all to stand with me, please. Father, I just pray right now for this one who has given, who raised his hand. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that the Spirit of God will just begin to melt his heart, forgive his sin, oh, convince him of your love, how much you love him, how much you've been drawing him over these days and months. And I pray that you'll make yourself real, come into his life, maybe born again this morning, born anew of the Spirit of God. Jesus, come and live in his life, we pray. And others that needed to open their hearts, we pray for your grace. And the Lord, I want to pray as we all stand together for every single adult that's here. Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that in our midst they will sense honor and acceptance, not exclusion, not lost in a couple's crowd, but I pray that they will be lifted up. I pray, Lord, that you will help them with loneliness and intimacy to find those things with you and with deep friendships. And I pray, Lord, that you will give them a sense of not living the paper plate life, but living with dignity. And Lord, help them not just to be putting off life till they get married, but help them to embrace your will and your call today and fill them with your Spirit and lift their heads and renew their courage and their eagerness to go after your call in life. And we thank you for it. And we pray the blessing of the Lord upon them. And help us as married couples to reach into their lives and to find space in our space for them and to honor them as esteemed and important in our lives. We thank you. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation willing to just walk through this important community-building truth this morning. And we pray your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah.